What is creativity? Leonardo da Vinci, Thomas Edison, Mark Twain. I think we can all agree that these people were creative. But do you have to be a great artist, an innovator, or a writer to be creative? Our next guest will tell you the answer to that question is no. Dr. Jacqueline Bird is the brain behind Creatrix, an assessment tool and e-coaching process designed to increase creativity in individuals, teams, and organizations. Thank you for joining us today, Jacqueline.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is creativity?
Creativity is coming up with new ideas. That's the way we think about it. It's not about breakthrough ideas all the time. It's really about ideas that are that haven't been there before. Maybe just a tweak on something that, or an improvement. Think about the Post-it note, for example.
We had Art Fry on our show here, and we were talking to him. He talked about that was just something that he took, something that somebody had made, and just found a new application for it.
That's right. That's right. And then think about all the different permutations of that since then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's also creativity. It's not just the fact of coming up with a Post-it note, but it's all the different permutations of that. Think about cereal. I mean, cold cereal was really an innovation. And then you add berries to it. You add cinnamon sugar to it. All of those things are about innovation, but a different kinds of, and creativity, but different kinds of creativity and innovation. One being more breakthrough, one being more incremental.
So we can adjust things. We can take and mold things just a little bit. And if it really makes it more valuable, that is something that's very creative.
That's exactly right.
Can anybody be creative? I mean, a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not an artist. I'm not an inventor. Can anybody be creative?
I think anyone can be creative. One of the things that we do with the Creatrix inventory, which is actually in a questionnaire that was designed about 40 years ago now, and we use it all over the world. It's translated into 66 different languages. And
wow.
What we do is we assess people's creativity and risk-taking. There is the equation that you were talking about. Innovation equals creativity, which is coming up with a new idea, and risk-taking, how much risk are you willing to take to make that idea happen? Those are the two things in combination that make innovation possible.
I mean, most people by nature, at least I think, are not real risk-takers. They like it safe. They like to play it comfortable, especially when they got a mortgage to pay and they got kids, and you know, we all tend to become a little bit more conservative in that area. Is how do we raise our level of risk taking?
Well, the way we look at it is there are different drivers of risk taking. One of the things we know, for example, and I'm going to talk about both creativity and risk taking together for just a minute, but one of the things that we know is that people that are highly creative deal with ambiguity pretty well. They know how to not always show up at a meeting, for example, with an agenda, but know the value of showing up at a meeting and saying, let's talk about that idea. So ambiguity is one measure of creativity. Can we all deal with ambiguity a little bit better if we understand how we individually do it right now or how we as teams do it? Yes. And then let's think about risk-taking. One of the things we know about risk-taking is that people that are high risk-takers are resilient. They bounce back from things. Americans are just incredibly resilient. We can see that in our data over the last 20 years. And one of the things that's fun to watch is that when people see that they're not being as resilient, they can put that in gear and start being more resilient. All of us do that at different times of our lives.
When you talk about risk-taking, I mean, sometimes the idea of, you know, jumping off a bridge, bungee jumping, those type of risks come to mind. But what you're talking about here is much smaller than that. Give me an example of what a typical first step risk-taking might be for somebody who's not used to it.
Well, I think that when I'm working with people on a one-on-one basis or e-coaching them, one of the things I find is that people are scared of talking to their bosses about a problem. And so their fear is there based on what? Based on experience, based on other bosses, based on having conversations with adults when they were children, understanding where they're coming from in terms of risk really makes a difference. I get myself. I understand why I'm not willing to have that conversation with my boss. Well, let's have a conversation and talk about what it would mean to actually talk to your boss and why that's a risk for you.
So it sounds like identifying fears and figuring out how real they are is the first step
exactly.
in taking risks.
We call that looking at your stop signs. There are stop signs that get in our way of taking the risk, and we all have them. There's a lot of conversation about what is innovation. And unless you have a shared definition in an organization or a team, you know, it's just out there. It doesn't have any meat to it. So really understanding what innovation is and being able to grasp onto that is one takeaway. I think the second takeaway is then some real clarity around what and who I am as an innovator. How creative am I? How willing to take risk really am I? And, oh, if I'm lower on either of those dimensions, what am I going to do differently? Ah, okay, now I've got a plan in my head. I can start working on that and change some of that. And maybe it's not giant steps. Maybe on like the Creatrix, which measures 8 different orientations on innovation and creativity and risk-taking, you're not going to move from being a sustainer to an innovator overnight. But can you start making incremental changes that make a difference to yourself, your team, and your organization? And the answer is yes.
Results. What results have you seen from people using the system? In terms of just maybe in how they personally do things, but also what the bottom line is meant for the company.
Well, I think that a lot personally I've seen over the years, people who I've coached or my consultants have coached, there's about 150 people who've been certified to use the Creatrix process nationally and internationally. And one of the things that starts to happen is people get focused on thinking about everything they do differently. And they may not decide to do it, but they're asking the questions. For example, how do I think about that differently? If you ask that question of yourself on a regular basis, you're making choices. If you've never asked yourself that question, then you're not going to make the choice. So it's really thinking through that is a takeaway for my clients and for my consultants. I think in terms of organizations, you know, there are a number of organizations that use Creatrix quite a lot. One of them is Cargill Corporation. One of them is Carlson Companies.
And two very good local companies.
Very good local companies. And there are companies in Europe. Lang and O'Rourke is a big construction company that has used Creatrix quite extensively. And we're getting ready to launch in Germany, big time. And so we'll see how it goes with BMW over there.
Oh, my.
But I think there's a lot of interest in trying to get people at an individual level and a team level to own what's the importance of innovation.
When you come down to it, especially when we're in a global economy, you can outsource and you can have workers all over the place, but your core being really relies on having creative people to give you a competitive edge.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that I think is a great thing is that people are talking about how many ideas that they can create. There's a whole movement in innovation about how many ideas can people come up with. But it does come back to what kind of ideas are we talking about? And if I get all kinds of ideas that are only tweaks and only slight improvements, where's the value in terms of those breakthrough kinds of improvements that you want to see in your organization? You got to find those innovators.
I was talking to Art Fry earlier, and he says one of the things 3M does is they give people 15% of their time to do whatever they want to and to investigate something like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. to chase down innovations. Is that something you might advocate too, is giving people time to chase down things to come up with? Is time a factor in this whole process of innovation?
Time to think, time to be different is a factor. If we're constantly trying to make improvements in things and we're constantly do, then we will continue to do the things that we've always done.
And we'll end up with do-do, I guess.
Do-do, exactly.
We can say that. We're not on the radio.
That's right. We can.
So if people want to know more about this,
there's my website, which is www.creatrix.com. And also there's a book called The Innovation Equation, published by Wiley, written by both me and my co-author, Paul Brown. And I think the other thing is a little pamphlet that we've just produced by Creatrix called The Innovative Leader, which really talks about helping leaders be more innovative. And they don't have to be innovators, but they better be thinking about how they're going to use their people and develop their people, just like you said, to be much more innovative.
Jacqueline, thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Been fun talking to you.